I've talked about my bulletin board in the kitchen before, but some things pinned to that bulletin board have been up there a long time. And like me, they're getting old. There are a few things, well, maybe I shouldn't tell you about some of them, but we actually pin up there Chinese, you know, the fortune cookies when you get a reading, and we have a line that says, in a yurt, up there, so we add that to the fortune cookie. So you read your Chinese fortune cookie and then say, in a yurt. But what happened this last week was Hannah texted me, she texted me, God is not dead, with whew, after it and exclamation points. And there apparently is a movie out that's, no? Yeah, that's that. So we put that up next to the fortune cookie, which really works because it's you will find a fortune in your future. God is not dead. I mean, it's perfect. So anyway, that's on my bulletin board at this moment. But only last month, in a moment of spring cleaning energy, I took down the page that I've had on that board now for 5 years, and I talked about. It's the piece I've talked about by Wendell Berry called Manifesto, the Mad Farmer Liberation Front. I took it down knowing that I could Google it. That's kind of a sad moment, you know, that I took down the writing knowing that I could look it up on my computer. The title is not so important as the lines and the thoughts it contains. Berry is an English professor, writer, and an old-style farmer. I think he still farms with horses. And this piece is known for its last line. That's the title of this morning. The very last line of this long piece is Practice Resurrection. All the prose that precedes that one line tells you how and why such practice is not only necessary and important, but is required of everyone in order to live free and well. This piece has become a piece of my personal scripture. Berry begins by saying, this was written in the 1970s, love the quick profit. Want more of everything ready-made. Be afraid to know your neighbor and to die. Do that, he says, and you will be trapped and enslaved. He then suggests that to free ourselves for life, we do such settled acts as, two words, plant sequoias. I love that line. Have enough hope and belonging to plant trees. Or the line that stands out for me, be joyful though you have considered all the facts. Be joyful, not in a naive way, but in a powerful, grounded way. Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. Earth Day is this week, and that is my Earth Day line every day. We free ourselves and save ourselves by recommitting to life and love, compassion and commitment over and over again. We are born again to life as we practice resurrection. Now, I know that for many of us, the word practice is not a happy word, right? It's a work word. It is what you do over and over again instead of playing or watching TV or getting on the computer or saying, I need to talk to a friend and picking up the phone. We practice piano. Anybody here practice piano? Or do homework, or clean our room. We think of practice as a word we get through so we can quit doing it, so we can do other things that we want to do, which aren't practice. But if you think about it, everything we do is practice. All the actions of our lives are practice. Everything we want to do or want to be a part of our lives, we do over and over. Practice is a good, necessary part of life and of living fully. The way you want to live, you better practice living it. Otherwise, it won't happen. It also is a word that always starts from where you are now. There's no catching up. every master of everything started where you are right now and began to practice. You can begin to practice anytime you decide to. And if you take the word resurrection, it means to bring back from the dead, but that also means to bring back to life. I resurrected the wilted plant in my kitchen this morning by watering it. It looks happy now. We can do that for ourselves. We can make a practice of bringing life back to life and to our lives. Easter is the day for bringing this practice into our awareness. Then we look around for our opportunities, our chances to practice resurrection over and over again. I'll leave a few things out because of the need for time. But remember back last year at this time. Remember the children that we dedicated and that we dedicated ourselves to last Easter. I think they might be here today. Sawyer and Maggie Giesenschlag. Yeah, they're downstairs. They were upstairs. Leah and James Hagedorn, and they're downstairs too. And then Max McClouchik, Elizabeth Smolsky's son. My notes I wrote then were, I said that this morning we celebrate the births of children in our community. We smile at the joy, possibility, hope, and presence of love that life brings, the gift before us. We know we really can't go through birth again, or would we want to? But still, we talk about being born again. That's because as we live, things happen. We fail. Friends die. Choices don't turn out the way we want them to. Our health changes. We get scared. Perhaps in our efforts to live our lives safely, we may fail to live them fully. And we feel that disconnect and that difference. We know it's there. So if we could be born again, not return to the beginnings of a baby, but if we could resurrect the newness and possibility and hope, the gift of life or in the gift of life that still lies before us, whatever it is, joy, though you have considered all the facts, that would be our born again. Taking us to the other end of life, this May 6th, which is only a little over 2 weeks away, is the one-year anniversary of my mother Virginia's death. And it was this time on Good Friday, 2 years ago, that she moved from her home into a skilled nursing facility. And I wrote then that she was framing the move in language with echoes of both Easter and Passover as a shift from, in her words, waiting to die, to planning to live. Not live out of the skilled nursing facility, but live in what was left. This isn't the planning to live that you see in a retirement ad. This is the resurrection of living with what there is to live with. It is a resurrection with what she had left. It's also another interpretation of Wendell Berry's line, resurrected from the opening of this reflection. What? Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. And yes, my mother was able to do that in moments, you know, small moments, but over and over. Passover began last Monday at sundown, and today is Easter Sunday. One of the big gifts of religious sentiment, traditions, and holidays is the assertion that time and life do not just go in a straight line, but time cycles or spirals. We might not embrace this idea easily, but we shouldn't find it too surprising. Just sit there and think about it. Life, the force, the experience that we have been gifted, evolved on this orbiting, turning, cyclically returning Earth. We are in spring once again, and this time of renewal and hope and freedom is told in the Passover story, and this time of life born again in the story of Jesus's resurrection. I like to discover something new in each holiday. And this year I learned that Egypt, the country's name, is not Egypt in the Bible. Rabbi Brad Hirschfield writes that in the original Hebrew, it's called Mitzrayim, which means tight places. So to be in Egypt, Mitzrayim, is not simply to be a slave in a story from long ago. It's that paradigmatic experience of being stuck between a rock and a hard place. An experience which virtually all of us, except a few in this room, have at some point in our lives, being stuck. And Passover reminds us that while getting jammed up can and likely will happen to each of us, there's always that possibility of release. There's always that possibility of being born again, whoever you are, whatever faith you follow. Many of us here this morning are at least culturally Christian, and some of us describe ourselves as practicing Christians. Not all of us fit this description, but many do. Somebody said this morning, they said a friend asked them what they were going to do, and she said, I'm going to a gathering of a bunch of atheists to celebrate Easter. That's not quite true. There are atheists present, but it's that sense of what do you do on Easter. In the early 19th century, both the Unitarian and the Universalist traditions actually distinguished themselves by interpreting the events of Easter and Holy Week differently from the Orthodox churches. The Universalists did not believe that Jesus died to appease an angry God by atoning for the sins of humanity. For Universalists, Jesus' death actually showed the power of love and commitment to life and for life. Jesus escaped the slavery of death and the fear of death by committing to love. It's a great idea. Once Unitarians established that Jesus was not God, they then had to resolve the question of how important the miracles were to his teachings. And if taken literally, the biggest miracle of all was Jesus' resurrection from the dead today on Easter. So if Jesus is not God, but is the Son of God and an inspired teacher, what can we take as the central teaching of the Easter story? It still is resurrection for all of us. Life through our fear of death. Rebirth. Rebirth to life and freedom, the other side of fear and the other side of being stuck. Buddhists talk of enlightenment as being awake, awake to life and death as one. Awake to full life. They're talking of resurrection. In the religious cycle of earth, life, story, and teachings, we become newly alive every year, every sunrise, every breath. We practice resurrection and are born again as we practice being born again. Resurrect yourself today from this breath, from this moment forward. Breathe in, breathe out. Get unstuck. Practice resurrection and rebirth. Plant sequoias or hickory trees. Be joyful though you have considered all the facts. May this Easter bring resurrection and freedom to your life. Born and reborn. Born and reborn again and again and again.